just listening to Vedanta itself releases a lot of emotion that has been held in the psyche, because the teaching itself relaxes the mind and soul. That's what I'm just saying. So it's a very good thing, you know. It gives you a depth of relaxation that you couldn't have before, because so much was held inside that you didn't have access to. There's that relaxation, but so much come up. You have to just welcome it. Even in the ancient traditions, they call it these in meditation, these kshayas. Kshayas are really things held in the unconscious. You have to just welcome them, let them come up. And we do a little bit more, we get into relationship with them. Which that's what Anpuja Swamijan did, as he recognized how helpful that could be. But forever they've acknowledged these things that come up as you start to relax on a deeper level. It's very, very healthy. Your mind and your unconscious becomes much lighter, much more beautiful. And then on top of that, when we're addressing the little ones inside, you have to remember they've been sequestered. Those parts of yourself have been sequestered and held by your defense system and the unconscious since they happened, and nobody has come to their rescue. They're just waiting. And so when you turn your attention inward and welcome them, you know, then a lot of more things, more pain, more tears. Tears are very, very cleansing. You know, it's like the body cleanses itself and the unconscious cleanses itself through your tears. And so tears are wonderful, you know. If you get to cry, you should think of it as a blessing, because that means all of these kind of stored toxins and stored pain is now able to release itself. And so if you're crying, I would just really go for it. There you can please and consider it punya, a great blessing, and don't hold it back. It's really washing, deeply washing out unconscious things that have been stored for so long, you know. And also this, so I would just continue, you know, on your own time, just make this become natural for you. And it's at some point, all of the, so much of that held pain and sorrow and tears kind of exhausts itself. And still you're always in relationship with the little ones inside, and so they always have you, you know. It's such a beautiful thing. They always have you, and you'll find that they always have Ishwara too. Once your buddhi comes into a prayerful relationship with Ishwara, besides just recognizing I am Ishwara, this buddhi, mind, sense organs is part of Ishwara, you know. The upadhi is part of Ishwara. And your psyche, also part of Ishwara, holds a very deep wisdom. It holds the wisdom and experience of everything you've ever taken in, which is just pouring in knowledge and experiences, pouring into your psyche much more than you can possibly assimilate, you know, on a conscious level. Because you're just being totally overwhelmed with data, with experience. And so your conscious mind has to filter that out just so that you can have a thought, so that you can think, so that you can act, because so much is there. It's like when Jung talks about this big triangle, and you just, the conscious mind is just this little tip of the iceberg, you know, floating on top of the water. So there's so much wisdom just in held in the psyche that can be accessed by you at deeper levels. And then there's the whole Ishwara, which is your being. And so if you invoke Ishwara or your Ishta Devata, invoking in the psyche, then all of the wisdom that you have, and perhaps also the collective wisdom of Ishwara, is there to respond to you. you know, it's there to respond. You're invoking Dharma, you're invoking Bhagawan, which is good, the good, you know. Bhagawan is Dharma, you know. It's a conscious being whose skeleton, their structure is all Dharma. So when you're invoking Bhagawan, then that's the level of response you're getting. If something else comes in, then you'll recognize it and say, what is that? But when you invoke Ishwara, like say, some things are bothering you or you're wondering, should I do this now? You know, you just ask and see what Bhagawan says. Something will come. Might say, no, wait a little bit, not quite the right time. Then you can think about that. Okay, let me see, you know. It's not that you accept everything blindly, but you ask and see how your psyche responds, you know. And you start having, you are letting the little ones, you're taking care of those little ones and having a response with them, then you're like in your personal unconscious being held there. And so that relationship also, you ask, then they'll talk to you, you know. That's very real, and you can feel, you know, a lot of emotional release and then, you know, getting what they've never gotten, actually. And so there's a lot of healing that takes place in the psyche. But then your buddhi is held by Bhagawan, you know. Yourself is Bhagawan, you know, your being. So when you're with yourself, with Brahman, with your own being, that self is the very self of Ishwara. But this body, mind, sense organs is part of Ishwara. Like in the dream character is part of the dream. Your body, mind, sense organs is part of Ishwara. So there's no distance, really. All of the whole network of Dharma, all of the laws, everything, are you, you know, you're not separate from that. And Ishwara is a conscious, infinitely conscious being, like an infinite mind. That's much more than that, but just to give you the example. And you come in, you are part of that, you come into relationship with it. And so when you say everything that's on your mind to Ishwara, that is a prayer. You know, we all have to have chants and we have rituals, and those are wonderful. I love all of that. It's very much part of me also. But so is this personal relationship. You know, it's a very personal relationship. You say whatever is on your mind. It's sometimes in the West, I don't know if it's true here in Sweden, but it's certainly true in the States, the way we pray, what we're taught to pray to God is kind of like a, now I lay me down to sleep and God bless mommy and daddy and all of my brothers and sisters and, well, all of my aunts and uncles. And it goes on and on and on, and then you think, oh no, who am I leaving out? But that's what we think about often. That's what we think about when we think about praying. We don't think about having a real relationship, about how I feel and what I really want and things that are bothering me and where I need help and where I don't understand how you're behaving and talking to Bhagawan. You know, that's real. Your closest person in your life, your intimate partner, you should be feeling like you can talk about everything, you know, not just the weather or God bless mommy and daddy, you know. You know, it should be everything, just with your partner, because that's a relationship, that's a real relationship where you feel held and loved and wanted. So that you should have had that with, at least that with Bhagawan, right? That's where you should really be able to bare your soul and say what is really happening and ask for that help or support or blessings or advice or whatever it is. To have just the freedom to do that, and you're tapping into very beautiful, very deep levels of the psyche, you know, and perhaps even more, because I see it all as very interconnected. We don't want to deprive ourselves of that just because we don't know or we've been conditioned in some other way, and so we miss the depth of that beautiful relationship. It just becomes more kind of conceptual, but not real. So we want a real knowledge-based relationship with this world and with this one. inside of himself. You take both, you have a relationship with both realities. The inner that you experience, the outer that you experience through your sense organs, and the inner that you can access through the buddhi, through your mind, coming into relationship with those deeper parts of yourself and invoking Ishwara in a real relationship. So you have to do it to see. Right? So maybe spend some time with yourself, making sure that you take the time to recognize the reality of that